Joining us today is Alan Richardson, coach and strength training teacher at Cookeville High School, where he helps student athletes grow stronger both on and off the field. Welcome. Appreciate you coming down.
I appreciate you having me, Jeremy.
Good. So I talked to a lot of different educators about a whole lot of different things, and so I have a lot of fun. I actually just had possibly one of your professors, Dr. Akinson. If you haven't had him yet, it's possible that you'll have him while you're going through your program. But he was just here earlier. I've talked to school district directors and lunch supervisors, and so I just get to talk education. So it's fun to me, anybody who's an educator, to get to chat with. So we'll start with you. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today, how you ended up teaching, working with students just in general in the school system.
Been working at Cookeville now for 4 years. Started off actually helping out during the summers while I was in college with the football program, and then that kind of opened up some doors for a job. I work now as the ISS teacher, and right now I am also in the graduate program working on my licensure at Tennessee Tech. And in my undergrad, I had a double minor in education, film, and majored in history. So that's kind of been my path to working with kids and where I've gotten. I always just like working with them, really enjoyed the coaching aspect, and then obviously this has led to career in school.
Sure. Now, did you always think that you would be a teacher, or did you have other plans?
Honestly, it was something that I definitely gravitated towards when I was in high school. Like, it was something I was like, I really would like to do that. I really liked, specifically, I played three sports, taking the younger guys under my wing and like teaching them, showing them stuff. And it was something that just kind of, as I moved towards college, I was like, yeah, this is definitely something I want to go forward with. And I was lucky enough during COVID, got to get some experience at working as a full-time substitute over at Prescott. So that let me really open the door and really like, okay, this is something I want to pursue as my career.
Yeah. And doing subbing, we always encourage subbing, but man, it's a different experience than having your own, kind of being in control of your own classroom, because you go in and you get to see a whole lot of different things, but sometimes just that one day, I know the kids can be a little unruly and, they're like, oh, it's a sub, and they're always trying to push. And I know that can be challenging.
I really got lucky because I actually was long-term sub at Prescott because during COVID, there was a vacancy for about half a semester. So okay. I got to stay in the same job for about 6 weeks. So I didn't really ever get to live the full sub life of bouncing between classrooms, but no, it's definitely a different experience when you're in and out and then versus full-time in one spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get to know, and I'm glad that you had that experience, because that I know that's a positive one, because it sometimes subbing can be difficult, and some people do it for a long time and really enjoy it, but I know that it's nice to have a little extended time and kind of build those relationships with kids as you go along.
Oh yes, of course. I mean, it's actually kind of funny. I built, being there for 6 weeks, got to know a lot of kids really well, went back to school in the spring, finished out did my fifth year after with COVID and sports, and actually ended up the first year I worked with Coach Hannigan at Cookeville full time. Those kids I had who were seventh graders at Prescott were freshmen. So I got to see a lot of them, see how they had changed in 2 years, and then a lot of them remembered me. So it really, there was a good foundation there for the relationships.
Yeah, coming along for sure. So you were at CHS, you said you played three sports.
Yes, sir.
At CHS, that's busy. I know that in the athletics world that it's difficult to play to be involved in multiple sports. How did you balance that? And is that something that you carry over to work with your students today who are playing?
Oh yes, definitely. A lot of the stuff I picked up on how to balance it, what to do, a lot of the time management aspect of it. Definitely take that to the kids, because obviously now I'm coaching the same three I played. And then I continued into college playing two of them. So I've been on this three sport grind since I was 13 years old. And it's just a lot of making sure you're in the right place at the right time, making sure you stay, you prioritize, making sure you know, give and take, and know what to do in the moment, just day to day stuff. And always communicating, always making sure everyone knows what's going on. So there's no, hey, where were you at? Oh, hey, where you at? What was this? What was that? Just make sure everyone stays on the same page.
Mm-hmm. And the competition is serious. I mean, today, like compared to, I've been around for a few years, and so when I played sports in high school, it wasn't as intense. I feel like it's more intense and even at an earlier age. Do you see that? So you mentioned playing since 13. Do you feel that pressure? Do you see people who started that early but then they burned out because it was too much?
There's definitely a lot more at the youth levels coming up, and I've seen it firsthand. I help out with our youth program in football as well. It's definitely a lot more pressure to like start going ahead and get on working with this team. You know, you need to hit the weight room when I was coming up. You didn't hit the weight room until high school. Now there's a lot of pressure. You know, kids think if I don't hit the weight room before I'm 9, 10 years old, before I'm in middle school, I'm behind. So there's definitely a lot more pressure nowadays. The ones I see who balance it the best, though, are the ones who just go out there and enjoy it. Like, don't let the pressure get to you. Just go out and enjoy doing your thing, performing at that high level, and just keep pushing through and seeing how good you can get. There's a conversation I like that one of my coaching friends like to have about, like, at what point does something become professional almost, where it's like it's no longer a grind, it's I've put in the work, now this is something I do as my profession, basically. Like, you know, and even that, it happens at the high school level, at the, you know, at the college level, it's all pushing. Then once you get a certain opportunity, this is now my thing, I do this.
And how do you temper that with students? Because I'd say for everyone that makes it to college or professional, there's 20 more who don't, even though they'd like to. How do you temper that, where you see that student and you know that student athlete, that kid's going to make it, he's going to play or she's going to play somewhere? How do you kind of balance out the ones where you're like, they're good, they're dedicated, they're going to contribute, they're probably not going on? Are those hard conversations to have, or as a coach, how do you handle that?
It's not really as hard a conversation to have. You keep the expectation high for everyone, no matter where they are in their athletic journey. You want to make sure that there's an understanding. It doesn't matter where you're at on the depth chart. Don't matter where in track where you are in terms of are you a one guy or a five guy. Like, you're out there expected to compete and show out. So whether you want to carry this on to college or whether you're high school and done, you still just want to be that. You still just want to always go out and give it your all and give it as much as you can. And there's never going to be a point where anyone's going to have an issue with what you do, as long as you give it as long as you give it the maximum effort that you can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to me that's a fun area to get to cross into, because at some point when you balance that and you're performing well and you're working hard, but you're still enjoying it, you know. I always hate to see when those student athletes get to that point where they're not enjoying it anymore, you know, because it's been grinding away for years, and eventually, you know, when they're just like, I've had enough and I'm not going to play anymore. But I love to see it when they're having fun. My daughter's on the volleyball team, and so I get to see those, you know, those players that have been playing for years, and just enjoy it and make it look easy, you know, as they play, but they've worked hard. I see the back end. I see all that time and effort and energy and hours in the gym that they've put into it to get to that level along the way. So it's fun to see. So you mentioned that, so you grew up in Cookeville. So you've been through the schools here.
Yes, sir.
So one of the questions I always ask is about a favorite teacher. So who can you think of, or who had that influence on you coming through school?
I got to be careful with this one, working at Cookeville, because there's still a couple over there. There's still a handful that were over there when I was coming through. So I got to be careful with this one, otherwise someone will see me at work today and give me grief about it. Probably my favorite teacher I remember growing up was Miss Tench at Monterey. She's at Monterey now. She's head principal at Berks, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she was a history teacher at Prescott when I was there. She was the one who really stoked my interest in history. That was what my undergrad major was in. And she always just made it super enjoyable, super accessible, wanted us to like think beyond just, oh, here's a textbook lesson, give me these 7 dates, there's the quiz, okay, let's move on. She really made it accessible and wanted us to learn more and pursue that like higher level of learning. Mm-hmm. And really, that she was the one that opened up my love for history. And she was also one of the first teachers who really developed an interest in me as a student athlete, where like it wasn't just, oh, you're just in my class, whatever. She always, we come in from football the night before. How'd y'all do? What happened? What was all, you know, what looked good? What looked bad? She wanted to know about everything. And same thing, I played soccer when I was in middle school at the time. She's doing the same thing. It didn't matter what sport it was. She wanted to know how we did. And that really made an impact on me in terms of how I interact with kids. Because obviously interacting with football, wrestling, track, I get kids that are involved in multiple sports across the board. And that really was something I was like, I want to be that. I want to be that teacher that kids understand. They are interested in how I'm doing outside of just the classroom setting, rather than just, oh, you're in my class, let's move on. Like, I want to be like, I really want to develop that relationship to where they understand, like, this is like, we're going to be interested in what you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. And to me, gosh, that's such a huge deal. If you get that relationship part down with those students, everything else comes easy. I mean, they'll follow and do the work and work hard and jump through all the hoops that you need them to, and you can push them, but you've got that relationship, they'll do that for you.
Yep.
And I think it's such a relevant, a huge piece, and we try to teach that, you know, and it's hard to teach that in a classroom at Tech before you get it, you know, in face-to-face with the students. So, well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the coaching and some of the things at CHS. Welcome back. Talking to Mr. Alan Richardson, Coach. I imagine you get Coach Richardson, right? Or
yes,
Coach.
Sir. Yes,
you,
sir.
You respond to that probably a lot easier. So you're working with wrestling and football and track. That's a lot of training. That's a lot of practicing. That's a lot of games.
Yep.
To keep up with. How do you keep up with all those things?
I just make sure I just roll into one season after the other. luckily, there's not that much overlap with each one being fall, winter, and spring. Right now, this week's really my only overlap with wrestling, where we've had our sign-ups the past couple days, and then I'll start middle school with Prescott after fall break. But we, just making sure that I just keep compartmentalized everything, make sure that I'm keeping priorities straight, and making sure that I just don't overwhelm myself, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how you juggle all those things. So I do well just to juggle one daughter's volleyball schedule. Currently is enough for me to balance. I can't imagine. And I have a lot of respect for the coaches who do juggle all of that. Just keeping track and pouring into our children that much. I mean, I have a lot of respect for that part. So with the coaching, so do you have other family members? Do you have family members who are teachers or coaches? Or is this a new thing for you completely?
The coaching's new. My dad, he played quarterback at White County and then played quarterback at Vanderbilt back in the 80s. And he was the one that definitely got me into sports. But the coaching thing, this was something I just, like I said earlier, picked up helping out during the summer right after I graduated as I was going into college. They needed a guy to help out with the freshman lineman. And I said, I'll do it until I leave. And then just kind of came back every summer and did that. And definitely something I kind of picked up and just was a way for me to like stay involved with sports after my career was over, basically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so how long did you play? Where did you play college ball?
I played at Center College in Danville, Kentucky. It's a little D3 school, same conference as Suwannee.
Oh, okay. Okay. So did you play there all the way through? How many years did you play?
I played, it was 4 years of each, but I took during COVID, I played football and I threw for track.
Okay.
So, and did 3 years straight, and then when COVID hit, that spring for track got axed, and then the fall for football got axed, and they moved the season to the spring. So I actually ended up not playing football in the spring, did track, and then my fifth year did both. So,
okay, okay. Yeah, that was a little wild. That was a wild time.
that's an understatement.
For COVID, for everybody, teachers, coaches, I mean, mm-hmm. it was a little bit wild. So then that gave you – But you were still kind of filling in and helping during that time, right? Were you helping at the high school?
So that was my first full season as a coach, because that fall when they moved the season to the spring for football, I took the semester off. I was like, I'm not going back to school. I'm not going back up there when there's not football to be played.
Sure.
And there was something about my credits where they said you would actually almost – you would graduate yourself basically because I would accumulate so many credits.
Okay.
So it was something really weird there. So I basically just said, okay, I'll take a semester off, not get any credits, and then – and then finish up in three semesters after that
and jump back in. So, yep. So you've got the experience. I mean, that, you know, you've put the time in over the years, and you've got the experience. And so, what's your philosophy on transferring that to? Because it's a little bit like, I don't know, gosh, I aged myself. Groundhog Day with Bill Murray was the movie where he woke up every morning and it just started over. And so I know sometimes coaching can be that way. Just because every year you've got brand new freshmen, you know, who are coming in, how do you take all of that knowledge and transfer it to those incoming students? I mean, by the time they're seniors, they've heard everything you've got to say, but like, you know, every time there's new people coming in.
Definitely, because I work with the freshman football team, so I deal with that every single year. It's a reset. It's definitely cultivating the relationships first, because these kids are coming from three different schools. A lot of them don't know each other. A lot of them, if they do know each other, they haven't played together in 4 years. So it's definitely cultivating that relationship and getting them to all cohesively get together. And at that point, it's we're on square one. We're going to be on square one till we get it right. Then we move on square two. Then it's just day by day, just keep I keep stacking days. Whether like whatever that means to you, make sure you are better today than you were yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. And I have a theory about some of the smaller schools, like Upperman has had a lot of success in the past, you know, and they've grown now, but they're still competing. But I had a theory about Upperman in that as a smaller school and a community school, they've had people that have stuck together and they've played together since they were five. And so by the time they get to high school, you know, I imagine at CHS, there's a little bit of a learning curve meshing those schools and coaching styles together. But it seems like in a smaller school like that that's had success, those kids have worked together, those athletes have worked together, and there's no learning curve. I mean, they start, you know, freshman year, and they've been playing together for so many years. How do you blend, you know, because if you've got a quarterback at Avery Trace and a quarterback at Prescott, and they're both fighting for that position, how do you manage that? It just seems like a lot to have to navigate with parents and students and –
it's really just a matter of finding your best guys and getting them on the field, whatever form that takes. This year's freshman group, we went 3-2, had a really good year. We were lucky enough. We were super deep at every spot coming from all three schools. But it's really just it's a matter of getting them in the right position, and then at that point the kids compete. I mean, the kids compete and cream rises to the top of that. So, I mean, it's a lot less straightforward than I make it sound.
Oh, yeah. It sounds really simple. I know there's a lot more in this making the sauce.
But no, they definitely we're lucky enough to have great groups of kids year in, year out, and they definitely rise to the challenge of competing with each other day in, day out.
Mm-hmm. And getting there and forming that just that team and that teamwork, you know, them competing together has got to be a big deal. And there's so much of it that you kind of take for granted as a parent. You know, speaking as a parent, I know there's team building, and I know there are things that the coaches work on, and so you there's so much of it behind the scenes that you don't see. And so, you know, I'm always interested to see how those things come together to hit that Friday night football game. You know, all the background, all the work and the hours and the coaching and the travel ball, you know, all those things coming together. Is always kind of fun for me to see. What's the outlook for this year? So moving forward, I know we're rolling along, but in your sports that you're working on, how are you looking moving forward?
Right now, football. We got Maryville on Friday. We're working really hard. Got a good game plan for that one. Just really excited to see our guys go out and compete. Wrestling. We're wrapping up signups. I guess it's today. So we're wrapping up signups. We got a good group of kids right now, about 50 kids signed up.
Oh, wow.
So we'll, that'll be a really nice big group to see how well they mesh together and how much new kids pick it up. Because wrestling's one, we get the most new kids out of any sport coming in freshman year, because there's kids they ain't ever picked it up before, and they end up being state medalists, state qualifiers, but they never touched it before freshman year. So that's going to be really interesting to see how, because we got a lot of new kids, a lot of returners from middle school, a lot of returners from last year. It's going to be nice to see what kind of team we've got. Mm-hmm. And in track right now, right now it's kind of the downtime for track. Obviously, kids are in cross country, kids are in football, kids are in, but we got a good, I got a little group that I work with during one of the workout classes, and they've been busting their tails this entire 9 weeks. Actually did our max testing today in the weight room, and they have everyone has been increasing. Everyone's looking stronger, faster. So I'm really excited to see how that group takes, you know, this early progress and translates that as we get towards indoor season and as we then progress to outdoor season.
Yeah, on into the spring. So always hanging on, always prepping. Well, let's take a short break and let's come back, and I want to talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that you're into.
Sir.
Welcome back. Talking to Coach Mr. Alan Richardson from CHS. So a few questions, so a few follow-up things. So I know that TSSAA is always changing rules, adjusting things. Any recent changes from them in time? And I know that there are some of the sports, maybe all the sports at CHS, are moving regions, districts. So there's some shuffling there.
So I got lucky. None of ours got hit by that.
Okay.
Football going forward, we're still in the Wilson County District in Gallatin. Wrestling, same thing, Wilson County. And then we go to actually Franklin for our section, which that's always great competition. I mean, that's the outside of maybe Chattanooga, that's probably the best wrestling in the state. So we get that, you know, as that's got to be what we got to go through to go to state.
Mm.
So, but, and then track, we're still in Murfreesboro, Chattanooga, that area. So luckily I didn't get hit with any of that. Luckily we didn't get hit with none of it.
Well, that's good. And it seems like there's always a change. I mean, that, you know, as school sizes change and shift and, you know, moving in and playing against different schools. What about rule wise? Have there been any developments in terms of the rules? And I know in wrestling, changes a lot, but it doesn't get the exposure typically that like football and basketball get. Have there been any changes, any impacts with that?
Wrestling, the only big one last year was the 3-point takedown, because it used to be it was 2 points for a takedown, then they moved to 3 like college was. But besides that, as far as I know, there ain't nothing new in that. And then football, I haven't seen anything of note. And then track, there ain't ever no track. It's always you can wear this undershirt now or something. It's always this like aesthetic stuff that half the time it meets, they don't even enforce. So luckily for me, I think R3 have kind of dodged the big time stuff that we got to deal with.
The big changes. Well, that's good. And I see some of the rulings being, and changes being trickled down from NIL. And I have lots of theories. I have a theory that NIL things are going to trickle down to high school, just because if you're at CHS, which is a big school, and you're a really good player and you have the opportunity to play somewhere where NIL is a thing, you know, why wouldn't you have specialized training and people to help you get there? To me, it continues having that at the college level puts more pressure on the high school, which puts more pressure on the middle school. How do you see that kind of trickling down, especially in terms of the pressure?
I mean, that all goes to the state legislature and all that. But I mean, yeah, that's always been the thing, is it goes from college, it gets down to high school eventually. I don't know what form that's going to look like. I don't know if it's going to be – I have no clue. Like, I don't know if it's going to be, oh, hey, come and take a picture drinking out of our going to give BJ Sullivan some love here, Brick Nutrition Cup. Like, so something like that, like, or I don't know what it'll look like. But, yeah, it's definitely – it's been talked about enough. Obviously, legislators dealing with that, dealing with the transfer rule. There's always something big that's coming down. I just don't really know what that would look like long term, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just, you know, thinking about what that would have looked like when you played college ball. So, you know, if you were playing college ball at UTK and the amount of pressure, first of all, but the dollars, just the way that it changes the game. I feel like it's NFL has been scooted down to the college level in terms of you know, salaries and deals. And I just wonder if any of that's going to trickle down or, you know, fall over into the high school area at some point.
Yeah, I mean, when it does, it'll be wild. The interesting thing about high school is, you know, it's state by state. The NCAA, their kind of mess up in it all was they were playing hardball for so long with people having summer jobs, or if so-and-so took you to dinner or something and they weren't a direct relative, oh, that's a violation. Like, the states have never really had to deal with anything to this level, so I think it's going to be a lot more at least taken care of. Bear, it's not going to be the Wild West like NCAA was, where Congress basically told them, yeah, y'all can't enforce anything. So
yeah. Changing it state by state, and hopefully hopefully the states can contain it a little more. But, you know, I think about that 17-year-old CHS football player who's looking at a college or a university, or a university's looking at them, and they're already talking to that 17-year-old about, you know, these $100,000 deals that can come out of these larger schools. And that, to me, turns things upside down. It just changes the game altogether, where I think you could have pressure, and again, it could take the fun out of the game if it comes down to the high school level, you know, or parents wanting to push their kids to that level and starting earlier and pushing harder. I think all of that is up in the air right now, I feel like, with our sports.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's a time of change. I mean, what I saw in 2019 when I was a junior in college, which is 7 years ago, versus now is day and night. So it's definitely one of those, I get like what they call fluctuation points or something, where it's like stuff's changing so quickly. One day this works, one day this doesn't work, one day. So who knows what's going to happen once it finally gets down to the high school level, and once it finally gets down to the state legislatures, TSAA and all that. Who knows? Because, I mean, right now, obviously the transfer rule was the big thing, and that's still not 100% hammered out. So
a little bit up in the air. Do the students talk about it? Do you hear any students talking about those things? Like, hey, I saw that this football player got a new Ferrari.
The kids definitely talk. Yeah, you saw that video a couple months ago of Texas. They pulled up, and it's 20 Lambos in a row outside their facility. Oh yeah, they know it. Yeah, they know it's that. Kids got social media. I mean, they're gonna see all that stuff. They see old boy down at Florida, Rashada, a couple of years ago, got $20 million or something out of high school. Like, yeah, they definitely notice it. So
yeah, it's wild. I mean, it is the Wild West in a lot of ways. Well, let's switch gears a little bit, because one of the things that I have notes on, and I've seen the social media posts, that you've gotten involved in the Tennessee's Strongest Man competition. Yes, sir. How did you fall into that?
So that one goes back to COVID as well. It's weird. Like, COVID's like just a point in my life where it was like everything, despite the pandemic, was actually like, for me, opened up a lot of doors. I get down, it's probably mid-October that year, right around fall break, and I'm training, I'm getting ready for track in the spring. As far as we knew, we were going to have a season. Luckily, we did, but, you know, who knew when the rug was going to get pulled out from under you. I was just looking for something else to do to change up my training, and I happened to run into this show called Strongest Man History on YouTube. It was on History Channel, and it was this really cool show there. You know, they're picking up rocks, they're pulling ships, you know, they're just I was like, oh, this stuff looks fun, I could do this. So
now, you know, that's not a normal thought. Most people don't see that and think, oh, I would love to pull a ship, you know, down. So but I'm glad that it was positive for you.
But so I see that, and I just kind of – Coach Cook, the head wrestling coach at Cookville, actually had a strongman log that he let me have. So I kind of started picking up equipment, testing it out, seeing how much I liked about it, worked my way through college. And then when I got back from college, one of my friends, Justin Ryan, that I've trained with for years in powerlifting and training for football and all that, he points me in the direction of a guy in Jamestown named Dalton Pittman, who has trained strongman. Get in with him, end up doing two competitions that fall, so it's fall 22, and just fall in love with it. I was like, this is something I want to do. This is something I want to get better at. I want to see how far I can push myself in this. And just it was something where it was like, this is so much different from powerlifting and football training, but it's still like that type of athletic type training. Like, it's varied. You got to do different stuff. You can't just be big and strong you have to be able to move and be athletic. You got to do this different thing. You got to do that different thing. There's, you know, 5-6 things per competition, and then multiply that times however many things they could put in there. And it's just such a varied way of training and things you got prepared for that really stuck out to me, because it honestly reminded me a lot of throwing in college, where it was like, you know, throwing, I had three events that I did and they were three completely different things, but that's what made it fun. It was like you could keep, like, you can work your craft in a lot of different ways and make your body have to adjust on the fly. Like, you could, it's not just doing one thing over and over and over
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you obviously took to it. And is it, in some ways, is it, I think that's been the appeal, like with CrossFit, because it's not just like we're just going to bench and we're going to compete. It's all these really unique, different exercises that you have to be able to do all of them. I mean, yep. You have to be like multifaceted and jump in and do that. So you've taken to it. So you've been doing it for several years now, and you won some rounds, won some competitions.
Yes,
correct?
Sir. Yes, sir. I won Smoky Mountain Strongest up in Knoxville in 22, Music City Strongman Classic in 22 as well. And the next year I won Music City's again. And then I did, there was one up in Campbellsville. It was called Static Monsters, which it was maybe more powerlifting, just raw strength one. I won that. And that was both in 23. Then spring of 24, I went up to Bristol for probably one of the bigger ones I've done. It was up in Tri-Cities. It was right there on the square in Bristol, right next to where they had the border between the two states.
Mm-hmm.
Won that one, and that qualified me for the national championships that year in 24. Went down to South Carolina, competed in those, had a good time, didn't do as well as I wanted. And then this year, Tennessee Strongest was the first one I had done back this year since Nationals. And that one was super fun. It's probably the most competitive one I'd done so far. But it was a super fun time, super exciting, great venue. It was at the Music City Fit Expo, so there was a ton of people there just filtering by, coming over, watching, seeing, and just it super well-ran meet. Really made it enjoyable, because if you go to a badly ran meet, you can tell, and it kind of, you're like, oh, what's going on here? Like, this thing, everyone was on top of everything. You were rolling. You were moving through events, and it's fun. I mean, I'm, you know, you said that it's not a normal person's reaction to, yeah. You know, oh, hey, I want to go pull a ship.
Yeah.
But like, stuff like this is fun to me. I like pushing myself. I like seeing where the limits are. And then once I find out where they are, go past them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I've always really enjoyed is pushing myself to those extreme limits.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine all that carries straight over into the students. I mean, I know it's exciting for them, and I'm sure that they latch on to that excitement. And of course, I'm sure they want to compete with you any chance they get, because I know high school kids.
Oh yeah, no, there's been more than a couple times they've wanted to lay down on the bench press with me and just
see
how well they can stick with me. So it's always fun. They enjoy it. They get a kick out of me, you know, Strongest Man in Tennessee, all that. I train on Saturday. It's called Strongman Saturday. They all get a kick out of that. They really enjoy latching on to that aspect of it. And, you know, again, just goes back to building those relationships. Like, they know this is something that's really important to me, and they know this is something I really enjoy. And then obviously taking that into the weight room and teaching them stuff. And like, hey, like something I mentioned the other day when I was on here was like, when I started out in high school, I had a 135 bench press. Like, that, I was small, I was weak. My high school head coach, Coach Maynard, he has a story about me being the sorriest little freshman lineman he's ever seen. But worked my way up, worked my way back into being a collegiate athlete, worked my way into being able to pursue this now on a bigger level than just local competitions. And that's something that I want to pass on to them. Like, guys, don't look at yourself freshman year. You don't want to be the best freshman. You don't want to be the guy freshman year. You want to see where you're at senior year, and what does that do for you, and where are your opportunities now?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Well, and I'm excited to see all that carry over onto the into the high school teams as you coach. So, well, I appreciate you coming out. We've ran out of time, so I appreciate you coming down and talking to us.
I appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, thank you.